This is Zeph Daniel, your host. My guest today is David Eales. Now, you've missed about 20 minutes of his laying out the scriptural evidence, very compelling, for the church being here till the last day at the end of tribulation and then the resurrection, which has been confused with the rapture, resurrection. We've been putting on different shows, looking at all that. We're kind of triangulating in on the truth. And so without further ado, I'm going to go ahead and bring back David Eales, Pastor David Eales, Teacher David Eales. Hello there, sir.
Hello, Zeph. God bless you.
God bless you, too. AmericasLastDays.com, folks, if you want to catch up with David, get his videos. Everything that he's talking about here are in his DVD series. But he hasn't done this for a while. But, David, it's time again to go ahead and make this case. I don't think we can make it too much because there's a lot of us, you know, that are struggling with the information, struggling with this, trying to figure out the truth. So David has had the floor. He's teaching us. I'm going to turn it over to you right now again, David. So without further ado, David Eales, please continue with the teaching. If you would, just if you can do like a brief little recap, if that's possible for the shortwave listeners, please do.
All right. Well, we started out, I believe it's the easiest thing to prove that there is no pre-trib rapture by first of all proving that the resurrection and the rapture happen at the same time. And, of course, the most famous verses used in 2 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians 15 about the rapture and the resurrection prove that they happen at the same time. Then what we have to prove is that when this resurrection is, it's easy to prove when the resurrection is. We have an abundance of testimony when the resurrection is. So when we prove when the resurrection is, we're also proving when the rapture is because they happen at the same time. Well, Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15 that there was only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. And he said it would come in this order: Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming. There's only one more resurrection of the righteous dead. Not the wicked, that's 1,000 years later, but the righteous dead. Then we go to John, who was given the book of Revelation. And John, looking forward from something like 96 A.D. in our direction, saw what he called the first resurrection in Revelation chapter 20. Well, when you look at what he says about the first resurrection, you find out it's those people who went through the time of the beast, refused the mark, mm-hmm. overcame, and entered into the first resurrection. Now, John, in his foresight, never saw a resurrection at the beginning of the tribulation period. He saw the first resurrection at the end of the tribulation period, after the beast mark, after the saints, who were martyred, and he said, this is the first resurrection. We see that Jesus said, for instance, in John chapter 6, three times, that I will raise them up at the last day. Jesus confirmed what John said, that the resurrection has to be at the last day. Reason the resurrection has to be at the last day is because if there's only one, and you put it 7 years before the last day, this great multitude, which no man could number or count in Revelation chapter 7, could never be resurrected because they're coming out of the great tribulation. And if the rapture and resurrection happen at the beginning, there's no way that they could be resurrected. They would have to wait for the resurrection of the wicked 1,000 years later.
Mm-hmm.
So, Jesus said three times in John 6 that the resurrection was at the last day. It has to be at the last day. If there's only one resurrection, it has to be at the last day. Otherwise, somebody's not going to get resurrected here. Now, that would be a tragedy.
Okay, let's stop right on this point and hammer this in. If it weren't that way, if you're saying that which people would not be resurrected?
The people during the tribulation would not be resurrected. The people who died for their faith during the tribulation period could not be resurrection if there was a pre-tribulation resurrection
because
and
that,
rapture.
Because that last resurrection after the 1,000 years, they wouldn't be there for the 1,000 years, first of all, so there would be no reward for their faith. And then they would be, that last resurrection is for the unrighteous, right? At the end of the 1,000 years.
Yes, at the 1,000 years, it's the second resurrection, the resurrection of the wicked.
Okay,
the great white throne judgment.
You can't put them in that category.
No, no way. So that we have no possibility here, folks, since there is a rapture and a resurrection at the same day, and that's only one day. There's only one time that the resurrection can be, according to Jesus' testimony, according to Job's testimony, according to everybody's testimony. It's at the last day. It has to be at the last day so everybody can be resurrected. Because there's only one resurrection. It has to be at the end, like Jesus said. I will raise him up at the last day. And like Job said, man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake. Well, if the heavens are destroyed at the beginning of the tribulation period, you're not going to have a tribulation period. It's just over.
When people die, some people think, okay, the spirit goes on with the Lord, but the body stays down. Are you alive in spirit after death, or do you just don't know until you're actually resurrected?
To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Okay.
Revelation chapter 6, the saints are underneath the altar. They're talking to the Lord. They're not in oblivion. You know, they're waiting for their new body. But they're talking to the Lord. So the idea of soul sleep is just not true.
I like that. Thank you, Lord. That's what I'm talking about. I want to be present with the Lord after my body, after you take this little suit of clothes off. I want to be with him. But yeah, but at the same time, the glorified body, the glorified life in Christ with his reigning on the earth, I want to see that after putting up with this for so long.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? I want a little, not evil payback, but I want a little payback. I want to see things set right. And I think everybody does.
Absolutely.
Most people with any kind of, mental health at all would want to see this thing set. They know what's wrong. They just don't know, a lot of them, that Jesus is the only answer here to all of it.
Yes.
And
what we just passed up here, the point that the first resurrection, John said, was those that came off victorious from the beast and didn't take his mark and didn't submit to the beast's kingdom. Well, folks, let me say that the Bible says that the things that have been are the things that shall be, and the things that have been done are the things that shall be done. There's no new thing under the sun. We have to have a precedent in history for a theology of the end time. God's people have never escaped the beast kingdom. It's already happened 6 times, and God's people never escaped it. The theology of the pre-tribbers is, we're not going to be here for the beast. Well, I'm afraid there's no precedent in history, and the Bible says that history has to be fulfilled in the end time. The things that have been are the things that shall be. There's no new thing. Listen, Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, Rome, which one did God's people fly away before the beast came? The beast came to bring them into tribulation because they were rebellious, because they needed to go to their cross. Jesus himself went to his cross at the hands of the beast. He was the body of Christ. The body of Christ had to die at the hands of the beast and the harlot. We can be no different. He said, you have to take up your cross and follow me. Well, how are we going to go to our cross if we've got no one here to crucify us? The beast and the harlot crucified Jesus. And now we're going through the same exact thing, folks. The things that have been and the things that shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. So when you talk about escaping the beast, you're talking about a first. Because we're talking about the major beast kingdoms up through Rome, which is 6. And now we're about to face the 7th and the 8th. Okay? The major beast kingdoms. But if you go back before that, the minor beast kingdoms, they didn't escape them either.
Mm-hmm.
So look. This is the first you're talking about doing here. You're departing from history. You're departing from the Word. The first time God departs from history, he has broken his own Word. He said, the things that have been are the things that shall be. And guess what has been? Well, God's people went through the time of the beast in order to be purified. Egypt, each one of these beast kingdoms was raised up specifically by God to bring his people into tribulation because they were rebelling against him, just as they are today.
Because
we need the tribulation.
Yeah. Because people want to go the way of their flesh, and they'll, you know, just, yeah, the flesh is very beguiling. It can convince you you're doing the right thing when you maybe you're not living up to what the Lord has commanded of us, you know.
It's very hard to nail yourself on a cross, right?
Yeah, it's not easy. Yeah, try inflicting pain. Now we have a caller, David, we have a caller. I think what I want to do is take this caller now rather than torturing the caller for a half hour.
Well, I need to finish my point here.
Okay,
really.
Caller, please stand by and let I'll tell you what, David. You let me know when you're ready for that.
Okay. What I need to do is go all the way through this so I don't break this up. I've pointed out to people now that we are at the place proving when the rapture and the resurrection happen, and the resurrection is at the last day, and we're going to prove that. I mean, to the day. I'm going to prove to you to the day when the rapture and the resurrection happen. You say, no man knoweth the day. Well, you stick with me. I'm going to show you that that's what you're thinking that says it doesn't say. Because the Bible tells us to the day when the resurrection and rapture happen. Okay? Let me make this point. This is very important that I get to this. Okay?
Okay.
Well, we left off in 2 Peter chapter 3 where we found out what Job was saying about man won't rise until the heavens be no more. We found out that the heavens are no more at the end of this period of time, not at the end of 1,000 years, as some people say. It says very plainly, which is, of course, what happened with the days of Noah. At the end of the days of Noah, the heavens were destroyed. They melted, not with fire, but they melted. They came down upon the earth, and the earth itself was destroyed. So now what we're seeing is that's the very last thing that happens. You can't have this happening at the beginning of the tribulation period, so there is no pre-tribulation rapture, okay? And that was, of course, 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read that the heavens are no more in the day of the Lord that is coming. When the Lord comes as a thief, the elements will be dissolved with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein shall be burned up. When is that? According to 2 Peter 3 and 10 through 12, that happens in the day of the Lord's coming, when he comes as a thief. Okay? Now, keep that thought. We want to see when this happens in Matthew 24, 35, and 36. Matthew 24. Hope y'all got your Bibles.
Yeah, everybody get your Bible. I'm following on my my online, my eSword Bible, which is pretty cool. Okay,
yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm kind of old-fashioned.
I can't see that well to see the right here. It's in my face. You know what I'm saying? Go ahead.
Well, Matthew 24 and verse 35. Watch carefully here. The heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no one. What is he talking about? When the heavens and the earth pass away. You say, well, I thought that was talking about the coming of the Lord. It is talking about the coming of the Lord. We just saw that in Peter. The heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father only. And as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. So we're talking about the coming of the Lord when the heavens and the earth pass away, and that these are as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. As were the days of Noah. Now, he's giving us a clue here. Now, pay attention here. It says, of the day and the hour knoweth. Knoweth is present tense. It's not future tense. Of that day and hour knoweth no one, not even the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. So he didn't say we would not know. He said that they didn't know. Knoweth, okay? Now, what I want to point out to you is at least two people in the past were given the revelation of when the Lord was coming, but they weren't given it until the beginning of the tribulation. That's when they got the revelation when the Lord was coming. They got it at the beginning of the tribulation. That will be Noah, because as were the days of Noah, so shall be coming. And the other one is Daniel. They were given a specific time of when the Lord was coming, but they wouldn't know when this time would come until the beginning of the tribulation period. Okay? So let's go to the days of Noah, and let's see if we can figure out when the Lord is coming. First thing you're going to find out is Noah was right here on earth in Genesis 7 and verse 4. Now, this is the days of Noah. Okay? Now, people like to pick out the days of Noah, the 120 years in chapter 6, but that's not the days of Noah. It doesn't mention Noah there. We're getting down here in Noah's text here where it talks about Noah. These are the days specifically. That's 120 years. These are days. Jesus said, as were the days of Noah. Okay? So let's take him at his word. The days of Noah. Here are the days of Noah. Verse 4. For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the ground. Well, notice, this great destruction of heaven and earth happens after 7 days. That's interesting. Not before 7 days, after 7 days. Well, let's see now. If we've got this destruction that destroys the heavens and the earth after 7 days, what 7 days is Jesus talking about here? He said, as were the days of Noah. Well, we got 7 days over in Daniel 9, 26, and 27, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
The 70th week, we have 7 days. And now we're seeing that the flood, the wrath of God, which is poured out, happens when? After the 7 days. And Noah's what? Going through the 7 days. Let's notice that. Okay? For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So, if you take the 7 days as the 7 days of the 70th week of Daniel, or the 7 days as the seven times that Daniel spoke about, several times, seven times that he spoke about, like the furnace was heated seven times. Times in the book of Revelation is years, seven times, okay? And how that the beast kingdom devoured grass for seven times, 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 and a half time. Time is a year. We've got 7 years here. So you got the beast devouring grass, which Peter said was flesh, for 7 years. The beast kingdom. It is the image of the beast there in Daniel that was doing this, you see, with the head being Nebuchadnezzar, the great eagle of Babylon, which is the United States, the head of the end-time beast kingdom, is going to devour flesh for 7 years. Now, here you got after 7 days, and what does he say? 40 days and 40 nights will destroy the wicked. Well, let's see, verse 10. And it came to pass, after the 7 days, that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, on the 17th day of the month, on the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. Well, now let's see. If the 7 days were the 7 years, because all the rest of the Bible says that too, then we have to see another day here, which is a year, right? Well, it's interesting. From verse 11 to verse 14, we see another year that the flood waters were upon the earth, destroying the wicked. You know, it's interesting, in Isaiah 34 and 8, he tells us that the wrath of God is 1 year. In Isaiah 64, he says the same thing. The wrath of God is 1 year. There is a year that follows the 7 years. It is pointed out clearly in the book of Revelation. It's called the wrath of God. The saints were not appointed unto wrath. Did you notice that Noah is in the ark when the wrath comes? He's not appointed unto wrath, but he was here for the 7 days. The 7 days are not called the wrath. The 7 days are called tribulation. There's a difference between tribulation and wrath. We are not appointed unto wrath. Tribulation is what? Trial. The Israelites went through a trial in the wilderness. They went through the wilderness to get to the promised land. They didn't jump over it. They went through it.
What about
all through the scriptures?
Okay, but David, what about when it says, just to clear this point up, when it says the wrath is poured out, the vials and bowls of wrath, that's not to be confused with the wrath, or?
Yes, that is the wrath. And matter of fact,
but that happens afterwards. Okay.
The bowls come after the seals and the trumps. The seals and the trumps are during the tribulation period. The bowls of wrath are poured out afterwards. Some people say, well, I'm seeing Noah here. Yes, watch very carefully now, okay? Noah's in the ark after the 7 days. When does the ark lift off? Verse 17. And the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark, and it was lifted up above the earth. Wow. So the ark didn't actually fly until 7 days, which represents 7 years, and 40 days. 40 days into what the Bible calls the day of the Lord, which Isaiah 34 and 8 tells us very plainly, is 1 year, 40 days into this year of wrath, because like I said, I pointed out from verse 11 through verse 14 is like 10 days over a year. Okay? So 40 days into this wrath, Noah's still sitting here on the earth, in the ark. Now, he's not in the wrath, he's in the ark. And the ark, of course, in our day represents Jesus. Mm-hmm. The Lord spoke to me specifically. I must just tell you this, and I'll have to come back and prove it later. But he spoke to me specifically that this 40 days represented a time for his saints in the coming days in which there would be a Psalm 91 Passover for the saints. You remember what the Passover was? It was the time when the death angel passed over the saints and destroyed the Egyptians, and it happened right at the end of their time in Egypt. They were leaving Egypt when the Passover happened. Well, folks, we're going to be leaving Egypt, and there's going to be a Passover. It's going to be for 40 days. The death angel is going to pass over those who are in the ark, and it's going to destroy the wicked all around them. In Psalm 91, it tells us plain. He says, only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. With thine eyes thou shalt see the reward of the wicked. Well, when Noah was in the ark, he saw the reward of the wicked, but it didn't touch him. In Psalm 91, it tells you plainly that the angels will bear you up, lest you even dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 91 is true now, but there's coming a corporate fulfillment of Psalm 91 for the saints in this 40 days after the 7 years. I'm telling you what the Lord told me through the word of knowledge and wisdom. It's coming. Get ready, because you're going to see a great devastation happen. In fact, you're going to see a nuclear war, and it's not going to touch you if you're alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. I'm not talking about martyrs. I'm talking about those who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord. They're in the ark after the 7 years, during the wrath, but they're not in the wrath because they're in the ark. Okay? Now, I'm going to prove this to you. Okay? I want to prove this to you. Let's see if I'm leaving anything out here. Okay. Seven, as were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Now, we see that there are 7 days, which is, let's see, 2,555 days. And then we see 40 more days here, which is 2,595 days till the ark lifts off. When did Noah know when the Lord was coming? He knew in 7 and 4, Genesis 7 and 4. He didn't know before. He doesn't know today. No one knows today. He said, for yet 7 days. What was God saying? From this day forward, there's going to be 7 days. And then there's going to be 40 days. That's what he told him. Now, when did Noah know when the Lord was going to come? At the beginning of the 7 days. That's exactly when Daniel knew when the Lord was going to come, by the way. Now, let me point out to you that Noah is talking about the rapture, not the resurrection of the dead. These people were alive. They were in the ark. They were waiting for the Lord to come and lift the ark up off the earth while the wrath destroyed the wicked. They weren't in the wrath. They were being delivered from the wrath. Okay? So they were waiting for the Lord to come. And how long did this happen? 2,595 days from the time the 7 days started. Folks, when the tribulation starts, you will be able to count 2,595 days, and guess what? The Lord is going to be there. The ark is going to lift off. And from the time that the tribulation starts, at the beginning of the 7 days, you will be able to count 2,555 days, and you know what's going to happen then? You're going to enter into the ark. You're going to have the protection of the angels of God for 40 days while a nuclear war is going on between America and Russia and China and the Ten Kings. There's going to be a nuclear devastation. When does that start? Well, stop and think now. Okay. Matthew 24 tells us that the Lord is coming to gather his saints when the sun is darkened and the moon doesn't give its light. Well, listen, 2,555 days after the beginning of the 7 years, there is going to come a nuclear war, because the Bible tells us in Isaiah that Babylon is destroyed when the sun and the moon are darkened. Why is that? Because there is a nuclear conflagration. The first thing that's going to happen to America is a nuclear attack by everybody that's got nukes.
But how do we know the beginning? And I know you know we've talked about this, but just for the listeners, what is the beginning of that seven-year period? How do we know when that is?
Well, that's when the covenant is made with many. Now, I guess I'll have to prove that when I get through. But I want to show you right okay. now that, according to Daniel, Daniel got the exact same days, the exact same days as Noah got. We've got two perfect confirmations.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the only difference. The only difference is, in the days of Noah, Noah wasn't going by a Jewish calendar. It was just perfect time. God said 7 days. Perfect time. Solar time. Okay? Now, when we go over to Daniel, who used a lunisolar calendar, which is a lunar calendar corrected by solar days to make it right, to make it correct, those days work out to be the exact same days as the days of Noah. Guess what you're going to find out? 2,555 days from the beginning of the covenant. 2,555 days. It's going to come the end of the tribulation period. It's going to come the time when the saints enter into the ark. And then in 40 more days, guess what? The resurrection of the dead is going to happen. Now here in Genesis, we see the rapture is going to happen. Over there, we see that in the exact same days, the resurrection of the dead is going to happen. Let's go over there and look at that, and then we can talk about the beginning of the...
Okay, caller, be patient. I know you're there, and I see the light is lit up, and, you know, David, just make you aware of that. He's patiently sitting there. We will get to your call as soon as we get to a resting point.
Yeah, I have to put this puzzle together. Otherwise, if you break it up so much, people won't understand.
Okay,
you know?
Continue,
in
please.
Daniel chapter 12 and verse 11, we're told exactly when the Lord's going to come. Exactly. In fact, to the day we're told when the Lord's going to come. Verse 11 says, from the time that the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate is set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Okay. From the time the continual burnt offering is taken away, we're told in Daniel 9 and 27, is when? The midst of the week. The midst of the week. Now, let me point out to you what a lunisolar calendar looks like in a week. Okay. First of all, Book of Revelation, chapter 12, tells us there will be 1,260 days in the beginning of the tribulation period. 1,260 days. Now, what the Jews did is that after every 6 years, they would add 30 days to their calendar to make a solar correction. So you've got 1,260 days and 1,290 days. The midst of the week is the midst of the first 3.5 years is 1,260 days. The second is 1,290 days. The midst of the week is after 1,260 days. That's what the Book of Revelation tells us the first 3.5 years is. Okay, from the time the continual burnt offering shall be taken away, which is 1,260 days, he says, count what? 1,290 days. Where does that bring you? To the end of the tribulation period, 2,555 days, exactly as Noah said. See? So, after 6 years, they add 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Let me point something out to you. For the seventh year, they make no correction. Gentiles do, but the Jews did not. They didn't make a correction for the seventh year until 6 more years. Okay? So, if you want to know the exact day, what do you have to do? Well, after the 6 years, there was 30 days added. That was 1,260 plus 30, which is 1,290. Okay? But if you want the exact time, you have to add 5 days for the seventh year. Okay? Which is proven in the next verse. Verse 12. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. Why? Because in verse 13 says, go thy way, till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. In other words, Daniel, you're going to die, but you're going to be resurrected with your people at the end of the days. What days? 1,335 days. What does that come out to? 2,595 days, exactly like Noah said. You take 1,260, and instead of going 1,290 to the end of the tribulation, you go 1,335 to the resurrection of the dead, which is what? 40 days after the tribulation, exactly like Noah. Exactly. We've got two witnesses here, and they are perfect. The only difference is you got one of them's a lunisolar calendar and the other's a solar calendar. But guess what? We're seeing they're in agreement here when you make the solar correction for the seventh day. Okay? So if you don't make the solar correction, you still got 1,260 and 1,335, which is what? 2,595 days.
Yeah.
See, you cannot get out of it, folks. When the covenant is made, you will be able to count the days of Noah. You will be able to count the days of Daniel. They will come up to the exact same time. And guess what? It'll be 2,595 days when the ark lifts off.
And
at 2,555 days, you can count. You will have the perfect protection of God for a Passover. 2,555 days, which comes to the 1,260 plus 1,290. That'd be 2,555 days. When you're there, guess what? You're going into the ark. If you're alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, you're not killed during the tribulation period, you're going into the ark. God's going to protect you. You've been perfected. You don't need any more. You know, you're not going into the wrath because we're not appointed under wrath. The Bible clearly says that. Okay? So 2,555 days, you're going into the ark. You're going to be there for 40 days. You're going to see the wicked destroyed around you. You're going to see nuclear biological catastrophe on America and on the world. And you're going to be protected for that 40 days. The Lord spoke this specifically before he showed me all the numbers. I'm not good at math, frankly, I have to tell you. But the Lord just pointed. I said, Lord, how does this fit? And the Lord showed me how it fit. If the Lord don't give me a word of knowledge and wisdom, I'm in a pickle because I'm just not very smart, you see.
Well, so, this keeps working out geometrically. I want to ask you another question about Daniel 9:27. We have one of my friends and guests here, you know, says the covenant is Messiah, and you're saying the covenant with many is something else. What is the covenant of Daniel 9:27?
Okay, there's two covenants.
Okay.
There's a covenant with Christ, and there's a covenant with Antichrist. You know, everything that Christ does, Antichrist does. Mm-hmm. If you don't know this yet, you should know that there is a body of Christ on the earth today, and there is a body of Antichrist on the earth today.
Mm-hmm.
Christ is a spirit from heaven that his body worships, that his body submits to. Antichrist is a spirit from the pit, as the Bible clearly says, that his body worships, and they submit to. Okay? When you're talking about Daniel 9:26 and 27, you can't confuse the covenant with Christ with the covenant of Antichrist. Can I make another point before I come back to this? Just one more point?
Yeah, go ahead. And then,
okay. I want to make one more point, and then we can come back to look at the two covenants. Because everything that Christ does, Antichrist does, it's just opposite. That's what anti means.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mirror opposite.
Equal but opposite. Okay? So I'm going to come back to that, but first I want to point out to you what the Bible says about the day of the Lord. We just saw the day of the Lord is a year.
Mm-hmm.
It's a year of God's wrath on who? The wicked. The wicked who's what? The wicked who have tormented God's people for 7 years. The wrath of God. Let me point that out to you first. Isaiah 34, and the beginning of the chapter talks about this great indignation and this wrath and the host of heaven being dissolved and the heavens rolled up together as a scroll, verse 4, and it comes on down. It's a sacrifice in Bozrah, which is the sheepfold. You understand there are a lot of people that have called themselves the people of God. They're not going to be in the ark. They're going into the great and terrible day of the Lord because they're wicked, just like God's first people were. They went into the great and terrible day of the Lord. And now, in the end time, the so-called wicked Christians are going to enter into the great and terrible day of the Lord, and they're not going to be in the ark. Verse 8 says, "For the Lord hath a day of vengeance, a year of recompense for the cause of Zion." Now, also, Isaiah 63. I wanted to show you this so you can look at it and come back. Isaiah 63 and verse 4. "For the day of vengeance was in my heart. The year of my redeemed is come." Well, look at that, folks. The Lord's redeemed are leaving in the ark, and the day of vengeance is coming upon the earth. And the day of vengeance is what? In both cases, it's a year.
1 year.
When we go back over to the book, the days of Noah, we find out that the wrath comes on the earth for a year. The great outpouring of the wrath that destroys heaven and earth happens for a year. And in the first 40 days, God's people get to watch this. Okay? Now, if you go, for instance, to, I want to prove to you what I just said here, that there is a day of wrath after the 7 days. Okay? If you go, for instance, to Matthew 24, and Matthew 24 in verse 29, y'all following with me?
Mm-hmm.
But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light. And then you see, verse 31, he sends forth his angels and gathers his elect from one end of heaven to the other. Now, one end of heaven to the other, in Mark 13 and 27, it says from the uttermost parts of earth to the uttermost parts of heaven. The thing is that God's people at this time are being gathered from earth and from heaven. That is what? That is the resurrection of the dead, and that is the rapture. So now we see after the tribulation of those days. What tribulation of those days? Well, if you go back in verse 21, you find, then shall be great tribulation, such as not been from the beginning of the world until now, nor shall ever be. And then he talks about the false Christ that come on the scene. So he's talking about after the tribulation is after the 7 days he's talking about here. After the great tribulation, which most people consider the second 3.5 years, okay, he's saying that after this great tribulation, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give its light. Well, if you go to Acts chapter, I believe it's 2, let me see, 2 and verse 20. The sun shall be dark, turned into darkness, and the moon into blood before the day of the Lord come, that great and notable day. Now watch. You got 7 years, you got the sun and the moon turned into darkness, then you got the day of the Lord come. That's just like the days of Noah. That's exactly what the Word of God says. As were the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man. After 7 days, there was another day. The first 7 days were 7 years. That other day is also a year. See, in the book of Revelation, people get confused because they're not looking at the eighth year. They're only seeing 7 years, 7 years, 7 years. But there's 8 years there before the remainder of the 1,000 years. There's 8 years there mentioned. The bowls of wrath are poured out in the wrath. That's that eighth day, that eighth year, is when the wrath is being poured out. Armageddon happens there. The saints get to see the beginning part of this war that lasts for a solid year and destroys the earth. They get to see the first part of it before they're taken out. They have a Passover. The death angel is destroying Egypt while these people are there watching because they got the blood over the doorposts. And they're abiding perfectly in Jesus Christ. So, you see here that the tribulation happens, the sun and the moon are darkened, and then the Lord comes for his saints. And it is what? It's during this time called the day of the Lord. 7 years plus 1 year. So when you read the book of Revelation, read it again and see if you can see the time of wrath, which the Bible calls those bowls or vials, depending upon which Bible you have. Mm-hmm. Those vials or bowls are poured out in the flood of Noah's time. They're not poured out in the 7 days before. That's the seals and the trumps that are poured out in the 7 days before. The vials and the bowls are poured out in what's called the day of the Lord. It says so very plainly in Revelation chapter 7, Revelation 14, 16. The wrath is being poured out in the day of the Lord's wrath. Now, if you go back, let's see, where were we?
Yeah, but David, you could still have a World War III and then a World War IV and then an ultimate World War. I mean, we could still have a small nuclear exchange now that doesn't destroy everything.
I totally agree, and that's exactly what's going to happen, Seth.
Okay.
We're about to start in World War III.
Right.
But World War III is not what a lot of people think it is. World War III is a Middle Eastern war described for us in Jeremiah chapter 25, and it started by Babylon. Babylon is the one that's starting World War III.
You betcha. Yeah. David, I'm going to just put this call in real quick, okay? Is this a good time?
I guess so. Did you want to go back to Daniel there?
Yeah, but he sat there for 40 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so here we go. Okay, patient caller, you're on the air with David Eales on Channel Z.
Well, hi. Patience is a virtue.
Yes.
Okay. I agree with your guest here. A couple years ago, I was woken up in the middle of the night and by the Holy Spirit, and it was the voice said, "What makes you believe that you're so privy that you would be that you would escape any form of tribulation?" John 17:15, Jesus says, "I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil." Okay?
That's a great scripture that you plucked out of there to fit with this puzzle.
Now, he prayed that we should not be taken out of the world, but that we should be kept from evil. So where does he hide us? In the cleft of the rock. If you go to Revelation 12:17, it says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Now, we're supposed to be keeping the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. When Jesus in Matthew 17:15, when he said, what he's saying is he does not pray for them to die and leave the world, nor schedule themselves in deserts or segregate themselves from the world in communities and monasteries to escape temptation, but to live as lights and examples of God in the world. Now, what in the world makes believers, brothers and sisters in Yeshua Messiah, think that we're just going to be simultaneously taken out of here? The word rapture isn't even in the scriptures, okay? And it's
I used to think in a pre-trib rapture.
I used to believe, okay, we'll be taken out of here. But you know what? Right. If we're not put through trials, then what good are we? Our trials is to continue on the walk, and we're supposed to be running a race, okay? And Your guest is right on. We have to go through trials and tribulations to cause our faith to grow. The Apostle Paul went through many trials and tribulations. There's a perfect example in everything that we go through. Every trial and tribulation, we should be learning how to count it all joy.
I don't believe
we're going to be taken out of here.
Okay. Caller, what's your name?
Oh, my name is Cheryl.
Cheryl, very astute. It goes beautifully with this. God sent you to that's very, very nice. And thank you for the call. I've got to get right back to David.
Thank you.
Please listen and call back again. Okay, there she goes.
The Revelation 12 that she pointed out there was those that hold the testimony of Jesus. And we just noticed that the people that hold the testimony of Jesus in Revelation 20:4 are taking part in the first resurrection, which is what? After the image of the beast and so on and so forth. We know what she pointed out is perfectly correct. Through much tribulation shall you enter the kingdom. Why do we need tribulation to enter the kingdom? Well, I'll tell you one thing that's very clear. The tares have to be separated from the wheat. And, you know, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christians, but in the trial in the wilderness is where you find out who's really a believer. Now, we like to call ourselves Christians, but that tag was put upon the disciples of Jesus Christ by the world.
Mm-hmm.
They were called Christians because they act and walked and talked like Jesus, and you can't really accuse the church much of that today. That's the whole problem. That's why we're really going through the tribulation period, because in the midst of God's people, there is an entity that is Antichrist. They're tares sown among the wheat. You know, when the children of Israel went into the wilderness, which the Bible tells us in Revelation 12 and Revelation 17 is the tribulation period, Revelation 12 tells us it calls the wilderness the first 1260 days, and Revelation 17 talks about under the beast, who was the beast of the second 3.5 years, and it was also called the wilderness. The harlot rode the beast in the wilderness. Okay? So now you're talking about 7 years of wilderness, which, if you go back to our type and shadow, was that trial that the Israelites went through in going from Egypt to the promised land. They didn't get to jump over the wilderness and go to the promised land, as people are teaching.
Okay.
They had to go through the wilderness to get to the promised land. What happened in the wilderness? Well, what happened in the wilderness is God wanted to find out who among you is a believer. Aha! Now, we found out that a lot of people didn't get to make it to the promised land because they failed in their belief. They were full of unbelief. God was angry with them because of their unbelief. He said they would die in this wilderness. They would not go into his promised land. That's what he said. So, what are we finding out here? Is God is in the tribulation period going to weed out the tares that are in the midst of the wheat. And at the end, God's people are going to be shining forth in the kingdom of their Father. Having gone through the tribulation, having proven themselves not to submit to the beast, not to submit to the world, to bear their cross, lose their life, and now they're prepared for the kingdom. The bride now is a spotless and blemishless bride. You know, who did he talk about these people that are in our love feast? He called them spots and blemishes in our love feast. There are people in the body, in the corporate body, that are spots and blemishes. That's got to come out of the corporate body. How do you get rid of the spots and the blemishes? You send the whole crowd through the wilderness to find out who is a believer, and you cull the ones that aren't.
Out damn spot. It reminds me of the thing in Macbeth, the play, you know, trying to get the guilt, the spot of that sin out, and just couldn't get it out.
Yeah.
And
right.
She went crazy, Lady Macbeth. Okay, before we get to that, let me just do a station ID here, which I haven't done. Folks, you are on Channel Z, the Zeff Report. Zeff Daniel, your host, and we are at 5 Bisbee Court, B-I-S-B-E-E Court, 109, if you want to write to us, and that is PMB 16, 5 Bisbee Court, 109, PMB 16, Santa Fe, New Mexico, 87508, and I know you're listening around the world. Drop us a line. The phone number here is 877-ZEFFNET, 877-937-4638, 505-473-1627. And that reminds me, that 27 number, David, we got to get back to that covenant business of Daniel 9:26 and 27, just to kind of really understand there are two covenants, one with Christ, obviously, one with Antichrist. And that's how we would know this 2,595 days, is that right? Or 90 days or 95? 2,595 days would begin when that covenant is made.
Right.
Okay. And how would we know? Because there's confusion. Some people say, no, that covenant in Daniel 9:27 is the covenant of Christ. And I can't remember what Jeff Cross, who has that study on that. And perhaps I wish he would call, but now we're getting up on the end of the hour. Go ahead, David. Take us on out. We got about 5 minutes or so.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's a lot to explain in 5 minutes. Let's see. Well, first of all, Christ and Antichrist. The beast is coming to make a covenant for 7 years. He wants to take the place of Christ. Antichrist wants to take the place. That's what anti means. He's coming to take the place of Christ. He's making a covenant for 7 years because he only has 7 years. It'll be over in 7 years. It's not because it's just a covenant for 7 years. It's going to be over in 7 years. And if you read Daniel 9:26 and 27, you find out that it's not Christ making the covenant, it's the beast making the covenant. And he is going to make a covenant. The Lord has explained it to me very carefully. He's shown it to me so that I can prove it in many, many different parts of the Bible. And it is 7 years, according to what the rest of the Bible says. It's very easy. All the types and shadows point this out. For instance, let's see who makes the covenant here. In 9:26, it says, "And after the 62 weeks, the anointed one, that's the Messiah, shall be cut off and shall have nothing. And the people of the prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood." And that happened in 70 A.D. So in 70 A.D., we still don't see the 70th week yet.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
"And unto the end shall be war, desolations are determined." So in 70 A.D., the beast came. The prince came and destroyed the city in 70 A.D., and you still don't see the 70th week. Verse 27, "And he," who is he here? Well, if you just look in 27, you find out it's not Christ. It's the one who destroyed the city. How can the one that destroyed the city in 70 A.D. be the one that's going to make a covenant in our day? It's very simple. He called him the prince. If you look in chapter 10, in the same text there, you see the princes that he's talking about, every one of them is a principality. Not one of them is a man. Not one. We talk about the prince, that God's prince, you know, is Michael in verse 13. We see that the prince of Persia is in verse 13, the principality of Persia. We see the prince of Greece in verse 20. In all of the text here, we don't see one prince that's a man. We're talking about a principality. So therefore, principality, the principality of the Roman Empire, by the way, which is coming back, coming up out of the pit, according to the book of Revelation, very plainly, that prince that destroyed Jerusalem in 70 A.D., is making a covenant with many in verse 27 for 1 week. Notice, it's not Jesus making the covenant. It is he. And he. That's the same one he's talking about.
Right. And, again, the same
and,
one. Okay.
"And he shall make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week shall he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease." Why? Because the mark of the beast is an abomination that maketh the New Testament temple desolate. You understand? We are the temple of God. No building can be the temple of God anymore. The beast principality is coming back out of the pit, exactly as Revelation 17 says. He's going to fulfill this covenant for 1 week, and he's making a covenant with his body, just like Christ made a covenant with his body.
Okay?
That covenant with his body is this one. He's marking his body. Everybody that takes that mark is a member of his body. We have a mark, too. We have a mark in our forehead, too. It's the name of the Lord in our forehead, which means in Greek, nature, character, and authority. Onoma, nature, character, and authority in our mind, in our forehead. We have a mark. They have a mark. Don't confuse the two covenants. This is not talking about the covenant of Christ. This is talking about the covenant of the beast. It's about to be made. And you're going to be surprised who it's made with, and you're going to be surprised what it looks like, because we've been hearing a lot of traditions, just like the pre-trib rapture.
Yeah, you bet. Okay, here we have a caller calling in from Montana, I believe. Is it Montana, caller? Quickly now.
Yeah, it's from Cutbank, Montana.
Hello there.
Okay, I have three questions. And
try first, one. Give me your best shot here, your best question.
Well, my best question is, this David L., Brother L., says, this information all, did he put out tapes or written material so we can assimilate this material?
Yes, David, this is perfect timing.
You can go to our site, americaslastdays.com, and there you can get the DVDs free where I taught this. Of course, I taught them on MP3s, too, so there's MP3s there.
You got to get the DVD.
You can read a book called Hidden Manna for the End Times, Hidden Manna for the End Times. Talks about a lot more than just this. It describes the covenant. It describes many things that the Lord has given me the keys to in word of knowledge and wisdom for over 30 years.
Okay, and then the other two questions is, are you familiar with a Bible chronologist by the name of Stephen Jones? That's one of them. And the other one is, what kind of a baptism do you teach, like in Matthew or like in Acts 2:38? Which way are you baptized?
Okay, caller, go ahead and listen to that off the air, because I'm going to have to turn the show off pretty soon. But thank you very much, brother, for calling. God bless you, sir.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dave.
Okay. What was that first question?
I don't know. I'm so fast. It's, let's take the baptism one. What is, you know, if you can, or okay. respond to anything you want to respond to.
Okay, I'll talk about baptism. Okay, because I know that people think that Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38 are formulas for baptism. But the Bible says that whatever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I know a lot of people think that means saying the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it doesn't mean that at all. It means doing it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which means abiding in his nature, character, and authority. I, for one, know for a fact, because I've been in both places, Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38. I mean, I was there, in the past 30 years, and I understand where people are coming from. This is a great division in the body of Christ, but if you understand that you are being baptized into the name, not in the original Greek, there's a numeric pattern in the word in. You are baptized into the nature, character, and authority of Jesus Christ, which is, of course, the nature, character, and authority of the Father and the Son, since they're all the same family, right? Okay? We're not talking about speaking some magic words over someone. We're talking about doing it in the name.
Okay.
We're not talking about saying the name. I say the name all the time. I'm very proud to say the name, okay?
In the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and that's the baptism of in the name of?
Yeah, 28:19 is baptizing them into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. By the way, if you take that to any English teacher, they're going to tell you that that is just one name. I'm not talking oneness here because I don't believe that. That's just one name. Into the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That's one name. What one name do they all have? Well, the word name there does not mean title. It means, look it up, folks, onoma. It means nature, character, and authority. That's the name we take on at baptism. I'm not trying to divide the body of Christ over what you say over someone, whether you say Father, Son, Holy Spirit, because that's not a name, folks. I want you to look at that very carefully. Father is not his name. Son is not his name. And Holy Spirit is not his name. The name is the onoma, the nature, character, and authority. And they only have one nature, character, and authority.
Okay, we got to get you back. David Eales, folks, and he just goes, and I just have to stop here, and there's a lot more to say. America'sLastDays.com. David, stay there. We're going to get back to the other side. We will get him back as soon as we can. I got to turn the show around. Probably got cut off on shortwave. Goodbye, shortwave listeners. Stream listeners, you're listening to Channel Z, ZephNet.com, The Zeph Report. The madness of Z, whatever you want to say, I don't care. I'm out here in the wilderness just walking along with the Lord, learning a few things. We love you, we're praying for you, and we'll see you